Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
The Goonie Talks at noon edition, so we can't go over like we did the last couple of days edition. I'm really curious to see how many people support Jesse J. Nelson and Mishmel J. Smallman in their support of the Detroit, as Mike McCarthy would say, Lions edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, hopefully, on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Some technical issues to start our day. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, as far as I know. And from an undisclosed location, I don't know where he is either, frankly, right now. But I know he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Good, man. A little choppy start to the morning, it looks like. We can't quite get our video up and rolling, but it looks like we'll figure it out. I'm doing all right. I don't know what Jesse's, how his Lions fandom is going this morning, but I do know there's a lot of concerned Packer fans about losing Jeff Hafley. I do know that.
So let's start there, and we'll get into Detroit and who you're rooting for, or if you're just ignoring the NFL playoffs from here on out, or you're a casual observer, perhaps you get to feel like I feel. You're not a fan. You don't really care what happens. And let's get to Jeff Hafley. So I don't sense that there are people, Tausch, even though you played with this guy, and I really like him. I think he's a really smart guy who's impressed me with his honesty, his coaching acumen. Nobody's really worried about Steno getting interviews, right? You got an interview with the Bears. Typical offensive lineman, right? Nobody, he's dead. We can replace offensive linemen. But Jeff Hafley gets an interview with the Jets, and all hell breaks loose. Are you concerned?
Well, no, I think the reason for that is because Steno doesn't call plays.
Sure.
He's obviously
although some
been
people
a good
want
offensive.
Him to. Right? They want LaFleur to give up play calling now.
If Steno's more interested in getting some play action pass under center, I'm interested in hearing
so
about
are
that.
You.
His his influence on Matt. I'm not going to say that about Matt. I think Matt LaFleur, for as critical as you can be, he's done a really good job. But everybody needs to be pushed. As far as all of that goes, Steno, I think if somebody decides to take Steno, he's been here a while. There's other folks. Halfley, the excitement level of a defensive coordinator, I think this is probably as high as we've seen since Fritz Schirmer. I think that's where we're at with trying to figure out, you know, if this guy's the real deal. He did what he was asked to do. The defense got better. And for me, when I was on with Jim, Matt, and Molly last night when that news broke, and my point to those guys were, you just started building something, and you started seeing it frame up, and you'd hate to have to tear it all down and restart. And I know there'd be people like to implement, but it's different. So Jeff Halfley's going to be a head coach. He was already a head coach. I think it was a great move that Matt LaFleur was able to bring him from Boston College in and let him lead his group. He did that exceptionally well. I think he's very good in front of the media, but really, he's good. He got his team to be a lot better. And I think when you add and sprinkle some new folks in, corner, maybe a pass rusher, it's only going to be better. So I would be really disappointed for us that he would only be here 9 or 10 months. I don't think he's going to fall in this cycle. I think he will stay. I think Green Bay will sweeten. And I think Jeff Halfley's looking at saying, do I really want to go coach the Jets? If you continue on this trajectory, you're a young guy, you're going to have plenty of opportunities. Be very selective. Is this really where you want to cash your chips? And I would think no.
So that was exactly the question I wanted to ask you, because we know that there are only 32 of these jobs, right? So, and I totally understand that. I get it. At the same time, you got to be selective, right? And there's no reason, based on the last decade and a half, that you would think, and I know Jeff Halfley grew up in New Jersey, so it's close to home. I know his family would love for him to be the coach of the Jets. But, like, didn't Ben Johnson kind of go through this last year where he had opportunities and he said, no, I'm good because of some of the jobs that opened up? Like, how would you, if put yourself in Jeff Halfley's shoes, how do you weigh the idea of getting a head coaching job in the NFL, which is not easy to do, going back home to an organization that puts the dysfunction in dysfunctional?
I don't know. I don't think that's really the issue. It's more, is it the right fit? And do you want to go? Because what you don't want to do is be bounce around guy. You want to build something. So I don't know Jeff Halfley's aspirations. You would know that. I'm more interested in if this, you don't get a ton of these opportunities, and time flies. There was a stretch where Eric Bieniemy was everybody's, oh my gosh, oh, and then he didn't get hired and people were questioning. And now I don't even know if he's got a job. I always go back to the Eddie Lacy part of it because it's super interesting to me that you could be a leading rusher and a dog, and then 2 weeks and then 2 years later you're not in the league. Stuff happens quick. So you get these windows, and Ben Johnson has had a good window, but let's say they go lay an egg against Washington this weekend and their offense stinks. All of a sudden the shine comes off that a little bit and he didn't get a job this cycle. That doesn't it goes quickly. If you're not an established NFL coach, these windows close, the trends go. Jeff Halfley doesn't feel like a fad to me. He feels like the real deal. So I think he'll have more opportunities. But Dan Marino thought he's going to have a lot of opportunities to win another championship. So did Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. So you need to carpe diem these ideas.
And you would also agree that everyone always I mean, it's a league where everyone has egos. They all think that they're going to be the ones that change it, right? Like, if you go into a situation that They've been losing year after year after year, which is exactly what the Jets have done. You're thinking, well, it's going to be different with me. I'll be the one that changes the trajectory, right? I believe in myself. I'm confident. I'm sure Robert Saleh thought the same thing. I'm sure all these guys who've been through there. But with the way the owner seems to behave, I would have a hard time. If he asked me for my advice, which I don't expect him to do, I would have a hard time doing that. That's just me. So we'll see if this leads anywhere. They have also interviewed everybody and their brother for this job, just like the Bears have done. Now, I will say this about our guy, Big Mike. They had all these preliminary interviews with other people, and they were all on, like, Zoom or Teams. Big Mike, they flew him in, right? I mean, they flew him in on a private jet. So that sends a slightly different message as to how they view Big Mike vis-a-vis.
Well, they learned a hard lesson. You can't fly a coach in coach and sit him in the middle seat and expect you to be viewed as a credible franchise. You can't. Dan Quinn got thrown on a Southwest flight middle seat, stuck between two heavy set folks, and he's sitting there in the back of the bathroom thinking, what the hell am I doing? So
wait,
I think
that
you could say he sat middle seat coach. I don't know about the heavy set part, and I don't know if it was Southwest, but you take the picture, and that's where we're at. The Bears were laughed at, and Dan Quinn has obviously proven to be a good coach. He's now the head coach with the Washington Commanders. Mike, I think he is interviewing the Bears just as much as the Bears are interviewing him.
I agree with that.
And if you go in with that approach, I'll be fascinated. I was on with Waddle and Sylvie the other day. They're not excited about it. I think Mike has not been branded in a good way because Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton, their all careers are the same. Everybody thinks those two are home run hires. Everybody else looks at Mike like, oh, and it's because he's a little heavier set. I think there's no doubt there is a bias in the world about that. You could say there's not, there is. All of that said, I think when you're looking for a head football coach and you're trying to figure this out, Mike deserves to have this opportunity. If that's what he chooses to do and the Bears do it, I think it would be a great hire for them. They'll get some stability. As far as Jeff Hafley goes, I think Vinny this morning is like, what can the Packers do? Well, the Packers can make a great environment that makes it really difficult to leave. They can sprinkle a little cash at him. I just hope that it's more about him wanting to continue to build and not just jump at the first opportunity that comes his way. I wouldn't blame him if that is the road he goes down, but I think it would be a major setback. One of the probably, if you're asking me, Jair leaving or Jeff Hafley leaving, I would say keep Jeff Hafley. And I don't know anybody that would argue with me on that.
That is serious. One of your boldest takes ever. Don't you think I was being facetious, old T.
Oh, I can't tell.
I know, because you can't see me. I would say this.
How did we do this show for 2 years without video? Like I'm generally...
It was glorious.
I'm curious. Great.
I miss those days.
You didn't like video? Oh, because then you could fold laundry and like,
exactly.
Crochet and
I got
care.
Stuff done. Whittling. You know, I would. I made some wooden creatures that I would make. No, look. It'll be okay. We'll figure this out. Jesse, I know, is efforting. So
I'm on the case.
I don't know if that makes us feel better or worse, frankly. Is there
anybody
else?
I've got other people on the case.
Okay, now we're on board. We feel much better. All right, I want to get into look, Tausch, yes or no? Jeff Hafley's the next coach of the Jets.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And that's not because I don't like Jeff Hafley or think he's a good coach. I think they are casting as wide of a net as anybody I've seen, and I'm just a skeptic.
No, I think he could be the Jaguars' next coach.
Now, for those that don't know the connection there, Trent Baalke, who is like the cat with
Rosendale
nine lives, right?
I mean, he's a Rosendale
guy. Laconia High School. You drive by it, I think, when you're going through Rosendale. Or maybe that's the middle school, but he has kept his job as the GM. Shad Khan is going to make the hire, but Trent Baalke will be part of that. And Trent Baalke was in San Francisco when Jeff Hafley was in San Francisco. Now, I also think Robert Saleh has interviewed for that job. So that would also be another 49ers connection, that if Trent Baalke has some sway with the owner, which apparently he does, because Doug Peterson got canned and the GM surviving, I thought was very interesting, almost as interesting as the Giants keeping both their head coach and their GM, especially their GM after he let Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney both leave. So we'll see. But as of now, Jeff Hafley, a candidate for the Jets job. As a Packers fan, are you nervous? You can text the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll check in with that a little bit later in the show. Tausch, I know you're not nervous about the cold winter winds because you have Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed I do, and Happy New Year means a lot of rough days ahead for those who suffer from seasonal affective disorder. Plenty of gray and frigid days on the horizon where we all just want to be snuggly and warm. Pella can make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year, zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But hurry up, you only have until January 31st. So visit PellaWI.com today. Certain restrictions do apply.
Goody getting ready to speak at noon. We'll talk a little bit about what questions need to be asked of him, and Tausch can advise me on what I need to touch on with the general manager. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the things that Matt LaFleur discussed with us earlier in the week. That's all coming up on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world. Somehow I have to find. And then
Jeff Hafley, not the only one interviewing with the Jets. Adam Schefter just tweeting that Bobby Slowick, son of Bob Slowick, who was defensive backs coach, and then 1 year you had, I mean, you didn't have him, you were playing the offensive line, but he was the defensive coordinator after Mike Sherman scapegoated Ed Donatell, and then he got rid of Bob Slowick after a year, and then he brought in Jim Bates, and then Mike got fired. Bobby Slowick from the Texans also interviewing for the Jets job. So we'll continue to keep a running tab on who Jeff Hafley is up against for that job. But who knows? He may
what did
knock
you
it
make
out of, the
of my? What did you make of my breaking news at the end of the show yesterday? You think Dano is going to be the new quarterback coach here in Green Bay?
So I would just say this, and for those that weren't listening yesterday, Dan Orlovsky went on the Pat McAfee show and said that he was garnering interest from teams, and if it's the right situation, that he would be interested. I have two thoughts on that, neither of which have to do with my bias against him. One, I think Jordan Love is at a critical point in his career going into year three as a starter. And what about Matt LaFleur? And again, not saying it can't happen, but what about Matt LaFleur says, this is the kind of guy that's going to do something out of the box and hire a guy that's on TV. I understand he was a backup quarterback in the NFL for a long time. I understand he's a smart guy. I've never said he wasn't a smart guy, but What about Matt LaFleur tells you that going into a critical third season as the starter, that he wants Jordan Love to have a guy that is on ESPN currently? That's one.
I believe, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was two summers ago, or was it last summer, on the Wildy Week Off tour, when we usually have Dano join us, that he slipped in at the end of our interview that LaFleur reached out to talk to him about this exact job. Was that two summers ago, or was it last year?
I'm pretty sure it was two summers ago, yes. So it would have been 22.
Obviously, Matt LaFleur likes Dan Orlovsky.
I didn't say
he
didn't.
Thought about bringing him in the last time around. Now Tom Clements retires, and I know Sean Mannion is there. It doesn't mean that he is going to not get the job. I would think that you said that yesterday. He's probably in line for it. But listening to Orlovsky on McAfee and kind of just listening in general, I think he'd be super interested. I think he appreciates Jordan Love. And I saw this morning on Get Up when they're talking about, is Jordan Love an elite quarterback? Orlovsky said no. He is not an elite quarterback. He's not been consistent enough. So all of those factors in, and I guess the question I have is, do we want someone like Dan Orlovsky, or him in particular, to be a part of this? And I would say yes, because we've seen how he approaches things live and in person on TV, and I think that would carry over. I'd love to see it. I think A, it'd be fun for just in general, and B, I think he could do some good things, because yes, there's no doubt
that
Jordan Love
on?
Is at a
What is your opinion based on that you think he could do some good things? Like, what makes you think that he can do more good things than Sean Mannion could, or that
I don't know anything about Sean Mannion.
Right. Well, you don't know anything.
I don't know anything about
Dan Orlovsky either. As a
I
coach.
Do, Jason.
Really,
no,
as
no,
a
no,
coach.
No, no, no. I. He is, in essence, when he's doing these clips, he is breaking things down like a coach does. I am on board with anyone that is on board with running with play action pass from under center, the Sean McVay, and how that affects. I think that would be a part of this. Now, that obviously is going to be a Matt LaFleur decision, not a Dan Orlovsky. But I just think this would bring a little juice. I think it'd bring a little juice to that room. I'm on board with it. Yeah, you can say what you want, and I am going to say, from a selfish standpoint and just from an in general standpoint, you can't argue that Dan Orlovsky doesn't know football. We've seen it. He dissects it. I'd love to see it. I think it'd be great for the Packers. I think it'd be great for Jordan Love.
Yeah, I understand that you love this idea, especially given how I feel about it. And look, I'm not questioning his knowledge of football. He played in the NFL for a long time. We talked yesterday about how effective backup quarterbacks seem to be as coaches, just like catchers, like, I don't know about Ron Hassey, but catchers tend to be really good managers. I don't know what you're basing this on, other than the fact that you like him and that he's on TV. Like, you know nothing about Sean Mannion. He may be far more qualified. I can tell you.
Well, what do you know about Sean Mannion?
I know that John Schneider told him he's going to be a head coach in the league someday. And John Schneider had him in Seattle. I know that Luke Getsy came back to work in a Robert Saleh-style role, helping the defense break down opposing offenses the way Saleh was helping the offense break down opposing defenses.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Whoever was advising that offense last week, I don't know if I want him back. I'm just going to be honest about that.
Well, and there were people yelling at Robert Saleh and Rob Domofsky in the press box.
Whoever was advising the defense on how to stop Philly's offense, I am very interested.
Oh. Well, then that.
But
would
if it's
be
the other stuff, no, I count me out, boss. That was not good. It was not good
at
all.
Luke Getsy was advising the defense. And Luke Getsy's been the quarterback's coach here before. He has history with Matt LaFleur. Connor Lewis, who was the assistant quarterback's coach, is also someone who Matt LaFleur holds in extremely high regard. Like, you hear him mention Connor Lewis more than any other position coach, I would argue, because he's the guy that does the replays and advises him on that. So again, am I saying that there's no way in God's green earth that Dan Orlovsky, who does have some sort of connection with Matt LaFleur, is going to be the quarterback's coach? Because I don't personally like the way he big-timed us after he got to ESPN. I am not saying that. But I'm asking you, other than what you've seen him do on television, you don't know how he would be as a coach.
No, I don't.
And the idea, like, if you want to do your check the tape routine, let's see all the different things that he's said about Jordan Love through the years. And then let's discuss whether or not he, as a TV personality, is going to be a good fit for being a quarterback's coach, right? Like, I mean, you loved Larry Bechtel. You love James Campen. Like, yes. That is a – I'm sorry. It is a really important job. And yeah. I don't – my point is that to talk about him in glowing terms when we don't know a damn thing about him as a coach, whereas, again, Sean Mannion –
it's glowing. I'm saying I want to see it. You roll the dice on stuff.
Do you
want
to see it because – do you want to see it because you think it would be fun for me to deal with him?
I think he's good on TV. I think it'd be
so
fun.
So you want to see him be the Packers quarterback's coach because he's good on TV?
That's a component to it, yeah.
Okay.
I also think he's very knowledgeable.
Get the job.
You watch him break down film. Watch him break down film.
You don't think all the other coaches break down film as effectively as he does?
They do, too. Absolutely, they
do. So then, how is that a selling point for him?
I'm not saying Sean Mannion's not going to be good. Listen, it's something that's out there. I'm intrigued. I'm on board. Doesn't mean I'm going to be right. Sean Mannion, I don't know anything about Sean Mannion. He's there. John Schneider saying that, it's intriguing. That's great. And if that's who the Packers end up hiring, great. But it's interesting in the fact that I think he does a really good job on TV. That is how this works in some lines of business. And I know it doesn't always. Sometimes you hire, there's plenty of coaches that have been hired based on being on TV. Is that the right way to do it? No. But I've seen enough to know he breaks this stuff down, and I think he's obviously a good communicator. He's not going to be on TV. And you factor that in, and along with that Matt LaFleur has had a relationship and had talked to him about this in a previous deal. That's what's intriguing to me.
So who are all these coaches that were hired after they were working in TV? Give me three of them.
Jason, come. Just go ahead and look at guys that get fired and they go on TV.
No. But he's not that. He wasn't fired as a coach and then
I don't know if he's coached before. Jeff Saturday. Boom. Roasted. Just gave you one.
yeah, sick burn, bro, because that went so well. I mean, do you really? I think it's fascinating. I'm intrigued. I think you have three guys right now in your building that worked during the course of this season who would all be qualified. Maybe Matt LaFleur decides to think outside the box, and maybe this does happen. But to me, nothing about Matt LaFleur screams, I'm thinking outside the box. I'm going to bring in a guy who's never coached in the NFL to be the quarterback's coach of my prized pupil who is facing a crucial third year as the starter. There's nothing about Matt LaFleur that says to me, I'm going to go from Tom Clements, one of the most accomplished quarterbacks coaches in NFL history, who coached Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love. And now that he's retired, I'm going to hire a guy who delivers hot takes on television. There's nothing about Matt LaFleur that tells me he's going to do that. So that's fine if that's what you think.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Nobody thought that he'd hire a head coach from Boston College to play to be his defensive coordinator last year either. And you know what he did? Hired him, and it was a success.
A guy who had coached in the NFL for a decade before he went to Boston College.
Yeah, well, this guy played in the NFL for 11 or 12 years before.
Okay. We will see what happens. And if this comes to fruition like you hope it will, it'll be fascinating, and I will be very excited for the press conferences that will follow when he takes the reins of the quarterback's room and we discuss where Jordan Love is in his development and all the hot takery, because you can bet I will be going back in all the archives to see all the different things that he said about Jordan Love as an analyst and then ask him to compare that with what he sees from Jordan Love now that he's coaching him. If you are able to help the people that have been affected by the wildfires in California, please do. And we can help you do that. There's a link right now that ESPN has established with the Red Cross that will allow you to donate directly to the Red Cross, get money to people who need help now, get all those first responders and those helpers what they need to help fight these fires. Go to redcross.org/ESPN. Again, that's redcross.org/ESPN to help respond and help people recover. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Watch every ESPN Madison show live every day. Subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live video of every show and exclusive content. Just search ESPN Madison.
Before we move forward, I want to read to you the section of Dan Orlovsky's Wikipedia page that covers his coaching experience.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
it.
Keep going.
That was it. Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Oh, I didn't.
That was it.
Right there.
That was it. That was all of it. So
would have been funnier if the video was working for us today.
Yes, it would have. Yeah, it's a shame. We'll get that up and running.
You should have held on to
that
till we got the interwebs working, Jason.
Well, I'm being told, sources close to the program telling us that it is not, for once, a Jesse problem. It is a internet provider problem. So we are working on that in Madison. Unfortunately, that means that folks that are watching the video stream in Milwaukee, you can watch the video stream and it's just the logo. And in Madison, I don't even know if you're getting,
we are not currently streaming on any of our ESPN Madison platforms.
Yeah. So we got that going for us, which is nice. So since nobody really cares about this anyway, other than you, Jesse, because you've been offended by this, you have taken some slings and arrows for saying that you're going to root for the Lions for the remainder of the playoffs. I, as a journalist, a non-fan, that's the best story. The Detroit Lions getting to their first Super Bowl in franchise history, count me in. You're not doing great in the poll, let me just tell you that.
I'm not doing awful in the poll,
but you're not exactly. You're doing, I was just about to say, you're doing better than I thought you would. The question is this: is it IPT in poor taste for Packers fans like Jesse Nelson and Mishmel Schmalman of Unsportsmanlike to cheer for the Lions to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl now that Green Bay has been eliminated? Yes, IPT, pulling for DET, 65.1%. No, it's fine to cheer on DET. 34.9%. Will you take that?
That's more than one out of three Packers fans saying it's okay to cheer for Detroit. Yeah, I'm taking that all day. I think that's more than what I saw on the text line and the YouTube dwellers yesterday. I think that's a reasonable audience on the old X Twitter platform that's agreeing with me. I'll take that all the time. Reasonable.
What's your issue with this? You obviously believe it's IPT.
I do now. I have to say my thoughts on this have evolved, because I used to be of the belief I like to see long-suffering fan bases get paid off. They've been loyal. If
got
I had
by
to
the
pick,
Cubs.
Yep. If I had to pick Lions, Bears, Vikings, it would be the Lions. I would prefer them to win. But this all changed the last couple of years. They have become a serious threat, and they have, you know, in essence, gutted us the last three seasons. So times have changed. And if you're a Packer fan, cheer for whoever you want. I'm not going to tell you who you should and shouldn't. I'm going to tell you how I feel and why I don't think you should. They have become smug. They're arrogant. And they don't know. The way they've approached this, I respect what Dan Campbell has done. I really do. Where they were and how they fought through, I respect that. That doesn't mean that I want to see them paid in full. I don't really care who else wins. I didn't want the Vikings to win because I've been on that rail all year that they weren't very good, and I was proven correct when it came to Sam Darnold in big games. The Detroit Lions, I knew were going to be good. I didn't know how they'd bounce back from getting gut punched. They have bounced back in a big way, but they have a big test on Saturday.
No doubt.
I don't want to see them holding up trophies. They are the kings of the North. And then for them to say they have the same amount of championships this century as we do, even though we've had a ton more success, it would be a big punch to, I think, Packers ego, the Packer ego. And I don't want that either. So somebody's going to win it, and we're not going to be happy about it, but I can be less thrilled if it's the Detroit Lions than if it is the Washington Commanders or, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I am not going to root for them. I understand liking the story and respecting what they're doing and giving them their flowers. I am on board with that. They deserve it. They've earned it. Doesn't mean I'm rooting for them to come into my home, eat my meal, and take my wife. Like, that's, I just don't need that.
I don't think I'm rooting for that either, for the record.
Well, in essence, that's what you're doing when you're saying, oh, that's really a nice little deal. Have them over for a dinner. But that doesn't mean they got to take your safe.
Yeah.
You can enjoy and say, I appreciate what you've done, but that doesn't mean that you're going to give them half your house or whatever you want to employ. I don't want to go down the wife road again. But in essence, that's what you're doing. You're giving or you're rooting for them to take what you wanted. I don't think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I tap out of this discussion because I think a team that hasn't won a title since 1957 has never been to the Super Bowl in the 50 now nine Super Bowls that will have occurred when they play it on February 9th. I think it's a whale of a story. And it would seem to me that the Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, those stories appeal to me as a storyteller. So I got no problem with Smalls or with Jesse feeling that way. Again, 65% of Packers fans, because that's who listens to this show, take issue with that. And I got no problem with them feeling that way either. I get where Tausch is coming from here. My attitude is, if it's not your team that's winning the Super Bowl, then does it really matter who the hell else wins it? Like, look at it this way. Like, you talked about the mountain and climbing Mount Everest. If let's say the Lions get to the Super Bowl and lose, right? So they get to their first Super Bowl. How's that for a storyline if you're a Packers fan? They get to the Super Bowl. They lose to Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. I'm rooting for Lions Bills is my Super Bowl that I would like to see happen. I would like to see the Bills win their first Super Bowl and beat the Lions. That way the Lions get their Super Bowl berth. Then they lose both their coordinators to head coaching jobs. I think that makes the climb back up Mount Everest, if you're a Packers fan, pretty damn hard for the Lions. So I don't think that it's the worst thing in the world if they were to have that success, lose two coordinators. Look at Philly. Like, we all, you know, poke fun at Nick Sirianni, but one of the reasons why they went to a Super Bowl with Nick Sirianni when people were doubting him and questioning his acumen was they had two really good coordinators who then both got head coaching jobs in that cycle. Then he hired two other guys and then had to fire them when they cratered last season. Now he's got Kellen Moore, who's pretty well respected. He's been around. And he's got Vic Fangio, who's been a pretty damn good defensive coordinator for a lot of teams over his 30-plus years in the league. And now they're back on the verge of, you know, being in an NFC championship game with another win. So I don't I just don't think that wanting to see the Lions is an egregious affront to other Packers fans, but I get it. I'm not the guy to answer that. So 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Getting some comments in the YouTube stream that I am concerned about. We are responsible on this program, so I'm not going to say anything based on what I'm seeing in the YouTube chat, but we got some. We'll make some calls on some things that folks are talking about in there. I want to play a little Take It to the Bank coming up after Tausch tells us about Prize Picks and what his plans are for the weekend.
Oh, I can't wait for tomorrow when Jesse gives me a little preview of who and what and Mahomes and all the other stuff. We got a little freebie on Monday with Will Howard. Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody. You can win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Again, you get the Will Howard little prop on Monday. And you have all this fun stuff with all this great, I think the best weekend of sports when it comes to playoff football. There's nothing better than the divisional round, and Prize Picks has you covered. It now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account. Prize Picks, the best way to win real money with your sports opinion. They turn it in 60 seconds or less. Download the app today. Use that code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
The Milwaukee Brewers have announced that Bob Uecker passed away today at the age of 90. We will talk about Bob and what he meant to that organization and to all of us that grew up listening to him on the radio coming up on Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
This wasn't good enough against the really good teams in this league.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
It's something that we'll focus on this offseason.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day.
To The Milwaukee Brewers have announced 8 minutes ago that Brewers icon and Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Uecker passed away today at the age of 90. I keep thinking about Christian Yelich getting so emotional after the Brewers bowed out of the playoffs, Tausch, talking about Uecker. I think his schedule during the season made me concerned, and then seeing
Yelich's reaction and talking about him, such heartfelt feelings, made me wonder if he was struggling. I don't know the details of any of this. I just know that we lost someone who, talk about being woven into the fabric of Wisconsin sports. I mean, icon probably doesn't do it justice when you describe Bob Uecker, does it?
I think the, you know, you just think to, you know, for me going back on the farm, listening to Brewers baseball with, you know, Bob Uecker and the storytelling, and then, you know, really becoming big on the national scene with Johnny Carson and that whole thing. But it was, there's something soothing, I think, for a lot of us sitting in our cars or driving around with our folks, or, you know, the nostalgia that comes with that. And it was a real treasure for us to have him be a part of something for so long. And I was always just taken back by how much the players loved Bob Uecker. Mm-hmm. And how much the players connected with him. And then, you know, if you watched the movie that came out about the 82 team, mm-hmm. and Uke out drinking with the boys and walking back to the hotel, and it just made you feel like that's fun. Like, you think Bob Uecker, you think fun, and you think Brewers baseball, and it's, you know, the summers, and I don't know if you can really put it into words how much of a impact he had on so many fans. But again, just goes back to the players. Rob Manfred's his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Manfred, MVP, when he's joined us, you know, you see it. And I had that kind of that same reaction when you saw how Jeff Levering was choked up and Christian Yelich. And you kind of, you always hope that that's not the case, but you always, you know, the good thing, or I guess the thing is, you've known the last few years, you wanted to make sure you appreciated when you made a home run call, because you didn't know how many more you were going to get. And unfortunately, today is that day. And I think, what a life lived by Bob Uecker.
We will get in during the 10 o'clock hour to further discussion. I know Jesse has that audio from Christian Yelich. We're going to take your calls and your texts on this on the Carbless Talk and Text line. This feels like one of those passings that everyone needs kind of that opportunity to try and put into words what he meant to them personally. I know for me, having grown up a Brewers fan in Milwaukee, you know, I've told the story a few times of, you know, the 82 Brewers come back from Baltimore after beating the Orioles to win the American League East, and my dad taking me to the airport. And quite frankly, getting very frustrated with me because I was 10 years old and intimidated and shy about coming up to these guys who were my heroes with my little baseball or my glove or my hat and asking them to autograph it. And Don Sutton, who was the winning pitcher in that decisive game, baseball Hall of Famer who passed away a few years ago, seeing this kind of interaction of my dad getting after me and coming over and putting his arm around me and saying, "Come on, I'll introduce you to the guys." And that meant the world to a 10-year-old kid who was not only feeling shy but also embarrassed by how his dad was talking to him in a public place. And Don Sutton introduced me to Bob Uecker, and that was like meeting, I mean, I met him and I met Robin Yount that night, and I met Paul Molitor, and again, it was all because of Don Sutton, who I will always hold in a very special place in my heart. But Bob Uecker gets one of those spots too. And I was the kid growing up in Milwaukee, listening to him on the radio, on a little transistor radio next to my bed, and falling asleep on the West Coast games in the summer, falling asleep in about the third inning, And in all the other games, trying to stay awake for every single pitch that he called. You know, I do what I do in part because I was obsessed with sports as a kid, and he was a huge part of that. So I think there were many of us that feared that this was around the corner, and now it is here. And I hope that everyone that he meant something to, even if like I didn't, you know, you guys would go and do the show from the radio booth from time to time at AmFam Field the last couple of years. I hadn't seen Bob Uecker in many years. Drew Olson, who covered the Brewers for a long time for the Journal Sentinel, is a good friend of mine and had introduced me to him again, you know, I don't know, a decade ago when I was at a game. I mean, he was a remarkable, remarkable person. And for those of you that are mourning like everyone else, I think it would be great if we can give you the opportunity to share how you're feeling. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. If you want to share your thoughts, you can do it via text on the Carbless Talk and text line, or you can call us 844-770-3776. Again, if you're just tuning in, the Brewers announcing that Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. We'll start the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.